I am one who enjoys a good story. The story of the resurrection is the quintessential drama of all creation, of all people. That's why we celebrate every year. That's why we go through this every year, to remind ourselves how grand it is. Well, I also mark this year as a significant anniversary for two other stories that have stood the test of time, as you were. These stories were captured in film. The one, The Wizard of Oz. The other, Gone with the Wind. This is the 80th anniversary. I like these films because they portray a polarity of human experience. The Wizard of Oz, the film, not the book, was set during the time of the Dust Bowl. Many of you may know that was the name given to the drought-stricken Southern Plains region of the United States, which suffered severe dust storms during the 1930s. It included Oklahoma and Kansas and northern Texas. There was severe erosion, soil erosion, and also wind storms, which then becomes the central precipitating event that moves us in the story. Dorothy is transported by a tornado to this idyllic land of Oz. The contrast marks the change from black and white in the film to the vibrant colors. Throughout the film, good is very clear, embodied by Glinda, the Good Witch, and evil by the Wicked Witch of the West. They're clearly delineated, with one exception, the wizard. The wizard is kind of a complicated and complex character, somewhat of a humbug. Yet in the good end, good triumphs as Dorothy melts the Wicked Witch with water. Perhaps an allusion to the power of baptism? I don't know. You can decide on yourself. One is left to wonder at the end of the film whether Oz was real or a dream of an idealistic young girl, typifying the dream of a society caught between two world wars and yearning for a decisive win of good over evil and a restoration of the land back to the brilliant colors like the crops we see in the Land of Oz. Contrast this film with the other that I mentioned, Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind is far less straightforward. Here, there is no clear good or evil unless one assumes a perspective of the South. Scarlett O'Hara and Rhett Butler seem to have faulty moral compasses that seem to fix on self-interest and survival, and they are as ever-changing and fickle as the wind. In this film, the vibrant colors throughout the film dull until we get the blood-red sky and the ashen gray as the South is burned. Instead of a triumphant victory, there is solemn resolution bereft of any joy. 80 years later, these films still appeal to us, I believe because they speak to our inner hopes and our fears. The dynamics at play are part of a much older story, as I mentioned. Like our films from the 1930s, in this story, in the story of Jesus' resurrection, much like Dorothy in The Search of the Wizard of Oz, here come Mary Magdalene to the tomb. Mary has traveled the road, not a yellow brick road, but a dusty road. And she expects to find Jesus' body, but alas, it is missing. Her immediate response, fear, anxiety. All the words he spoke, like Dorothy said, the message, go see the wizard. In this case, speaking of a cosmic level promise that Jesus makes, she is left wondering, were they true? Were they true? Her immediate response is she assumes foul play, another act of evil, another act against Jesus, this time perhaps an attempt to erase any memory of him so that the tomb could not become a martyr shrine where people could gather and perhaps start a rebellion. They have taken the Lord, she yells, and we don't know where they have laid him. Who are they? The religious leaders, perhaps? Maybe the Romans? You see, in this story, the good and the evil are also hard to distinguish. Fear keeps the other disciple out of the tomb. Maybe anxiety sends Peter in to investigate. When he sees not a tussled mess, but an orderliness that I assume he tells the other disciple about, he finds the courage, the other disciple, the beloved one, to look inside as well. When he sees the orderliness of the burial garments, the rolled-up towel, not a tussled mess, the text says he believed. What did he believe? Did he believe Mary's assumption? Or did he believe Jesus' predictions? The text is not clear, and actually the next line is that yet they have yet to believe what Jesus had said. Perhaps fear and anxiety prevents them from searching further because they don't, you notice, they don't stay. They return to home, return to where they were before. The scene for them is still in black and white. Death has triumphed here, not life. Despair, not hope. Walter Brueggemann, a noted biblical scholar, wrote in his book, A Gospel of Hope, an enduring assessment of the human condition that I believe is spot on. Listen to this. The reason there is such craziness, such a binge of fear and hate, such a propensity to brutality and violence and terror and counter-terror, the reason is that people are anxious down to the very bottom of their lives. Anxious people, when their anxiety is strong and deep enough, do crazy, destructive things to each other and to themselves, which in any other context would be shameful and unacceptable. Such deep anxiety causes us to divide the world into us and them, into good guys and bad guys. And then imagine that we are good and right and pure and righteous, all because of anxiety. Think about the events of this week. Just yesterday would have been Easter Day for them. In Sri Lanka, you no doubt heard the news. The destruction at churches, 200 dead. What drives that but fear, anxiety, down to the very core of human beings? Mary, Peter, and perhaps the other disciple believed someone or someones had done something despicable to Jesus' body. Mary immediately moves to us and them mentality. And I think this can also be true of us because of our anxiety. Begin scene two. Peter and the other disciple have left. Mary is alone at the tomb. Suddenly, two angels are sitting on either end of that stone table where Jesus' body was laying and ask a seemingly obtuse question. Why are you weeping? Duh. Okay. Jesus is gone. Again, her fear about grave robbers or tomb raiders. Then a very peculiar thing happens. Jesus shows up and Mary looks right at him and you notice doesn't recognize him. Does not recognize him. With all the attention to detail about Jesus' burial clothes, it is highly unlikely that the author just forgot to mention that, or that Jesus was disguising himself like the wizard. So one must assume that in his resurrected transitional state, his appearance was not the same as it was perhaps while he was on earth. There is one aspect, though, that she does recognize: his voice. And then she exclaims with great joy, "Teacher!" But Jesus kind of stops her. He doesn't let her keep the good news to herself. He says, "No, take this back to those fearful and anxious disciples." And so she goes. And much like Dorothy's account of the Land of Oz, when she returns to Kansas, the question is, will the disciples believe? Will they believe? Will they believe that the storm of human suffering and misery, the clouds of fear and anxiety, that beyond them there is a rainbow of brilliant color sparkling with resurrection light, and that this rainbow starts at an empty tomb, and somewhere over the rainbow is a future where nothing is gone with the wind, but everything is made new. Do they believe it? Do we believe it? You know, sometimes it's hard to see the brilliant colors in the world that sees in black and white. In a world that depicts death as final and joy as fleeting and hope as delusional. And yet out of the place of death, Jesus says, death is not the end. And he springs forth in life. He transforms our black and white to brilliant shades of colored possibilities. And when we let go of our fear, of our anxiety, then we too can go down the road confident that what we experience in life, the suffering, the hardship, the violence, the illness, that none of it can ever keep us away from the home we have in God. There is no place like the home we have with God, a home not so much located in a heaven far away, but a centered faith that instills in us a peace that no earthly power can ever, ever, ever take away. Those of us who call ourselves Christians are then never to believe that anything can take away our Savior and His promise to us. That nothing can take away the world that God loves from our Savior Jesus Christ, who came to save it. Brueggemann continues after that quote about the anxiety in the world. He says this, "But it is not so in the faithful church. And the reason is not so, the reason is we Christians are not like our society. The reason is we are unanxious in an anxious society. Unanxious because of the faithful presence of God in Jesus Christ, in whom we trust. Take deep notice of the ways in which we are different because of the truth of the gospel. The truth of God's Easter victory over all that threatens our lives and our world. That is what the word evangelical means, to trust ourselves to the truth of the gospel." To trust ourselves to the truth of the gospel. It can't be a one-time thing, friends. It's an ongoing discipline. It requires us to examine the tombs in our world and in our lives, and to move from believing all is lost to I have seen the Lord. It takes waking up each day and choosing if we are going to be limited by anxiety and fear, or if we are going to be liberated by our faith. It takes listening to the voice that calls out our name and replying in joy, "Teacher, show me the way." It takes believing, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that God moves in this world into all the places where fear takes residence, where fear is entombed in us, and he declares, "No, it is finished. I have started a new thing," and God moves right out of that tomb and takes us with him. Are you ready to believe that? Are you ready to let God into those places? Are you ready to go into a world that believes more in death than life and proclaim, "No, death is not the end. For in Jesus Christ, death is the beginning of a new reality that all can share, where all will find hope"? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to live it in your daily life? I hope you are. I hope this Easter for you is a new beginning, a new opportunity to share the love of God in ways that will transform this world outside, where people will not stay in tombs of fear, but they will be liberated to go out and to share the gospel and to live it and to make other lives better because of it. Friends, it's exciting. Let's do this. All authority and power and dominion to the name that is above all names. Jesus Christ our Lord, now and in the age to come. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.